Appreciate it. Good morning. Good morning. Wow, this is going to be fun. I'm excited. I tell you what, I don't think I could express strong enough and clear enough how excited we are for May and what's beginning on May 5th. So I thought I'd demonstrate it. You know, Pastor Jesse set the example for me. So we're going to give away some more shirts today. But because we're a giving church, right? We're going to be sharing and giving hope and experiencing. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, our hands are starting to go up. Now, there's a requirement with this shirt. You have to wear it this week. If it's the wrong size, they're authorized to give you the right size, because I can tell you right now, that's a possibility for me of the shirt I have. But for you, it may be too. So drop by the counter out there at the merch counter and get the right size. But if you wear this, you got to invite somebody to church next week. Does that sound good? And if you grab it, you got to wear it. You wear it, you got to invite. All good? Now who wants one? Okay, now I almost took off ahead last service. It was really bad, real bad. I'll try to keep it high. Oh, ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Who wants one? Oh, eyes up, eyes up. No big deal. Uh-oh. Did it come down? Yeah. Woo! That was scary. You ready? You ready? Oh, toss it back farther if you don't want it. There you go. We are so excited. Already have one. It's going to be a great month. It's going to be a great month. It's important to be here next week. We're kicking this thing off. It's going to be 28 days of hope. We have prayed about, as Pastor Jesse said, and planned, and not because of anything we want to accomplish ourselves. It's really what we know God wants to accomplish in our church and in our community as we grow in our relationship with Jesus and share hope to the world around us. So we really encourage you to be here. I think they're done running by now, but we had a big contingency as part of the World Vision team that went running this morning. Some ran 26.2 miles. Wow. I know. Yeah, our senior pastor, 26.2 miles. Yeah, I'm excited to see how that went for him. God bless him. But there's a big group doing that, providing clean water for children around the world. It's a big deal. This is also the weekend, last weekend, April. This kind of starts a new year for the church. We now have, we just had our 72-year anniversary. Yeah. Bible Baptist Grace Community Church. I know. 72 years. And it really got me thinking, especially as we're looking at this next month and what we've been experiencing here this weekend, which we'll talk about in a minute, this thought of and this concept and this bedrock experience called leaving a legacy and being impacted for the kingdom and the life change that happens one person to another as they're faithful unto God. And so we are going to talk about leaving a legacy today. Does that sound good? Okay, all right, you're in for it. And it started with me a long time ago. I'll share that in a minute, but do you have verses that like just kind of resonate with you and they stay with you for like day to day, week to week, like you just lean on them? There's been those for me, and then there's also been certain statements I've heard. Somebody says something and it just sticks. And this is the one that's really hung up for me for many years now. It's this one. 100 years from now, the only thing that'll matter is a person's relationship with God. That's the only thing that'll matter. Nothing else will matter. Your possessions, it won't matter. Nothing else matters. How accomplished you were at work won't matter. The only thing that'll matter is your relationship with God. That has driven me to see people differently. You know, that just dovetailed with, you know, Jesus and his life and his passion and the way he served people and the sacrifice that Jesus made. How he loved me right where I was at 15. I mean, and that statement. And then as I was getting ready this week, a verse that I hadn't looked at in a while is this one in Psalm 33. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. His plans are firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. All generations. And I realize that I'm no longer the generation that the church is reaching. I'm the generation that's trying to help reach the next generation. Yeah. It's my birthday this week, coming up. It's all right. It's also Pastor Jesse and Lori's anniversary, same day, so celebrate with them too. Yeah, and I realize more and more how important it is to leave a legacy. Only because I realized there were people before me that established something that left a legacy in my life. And we'll get to that in a little bit. We've also been this weekend, we've had the privilege, we have a partnership with an organization that's helping us look longer down the road in terms of how we give as a church, how we contribute as a church, how we plan to leave a legacy, a financial legacy. And so Tim's been here this weekend, yesterday, and again today, this afternoon. He'll be doing a workshop at 12:30. Look at him, he's already coming up on cue, like, here he comes. I said, Tim, you gotta go a little bit shorter today, just on this service, just a little bit shorter. And so Tim is here. Tim is an amazing guy. We're now best friends because I took him to Brank's Barbecue. And we had a great time. We had a great time having barbecue together. And I just pray that in the next few minutes, you'll just hear his heart and how God's equipped him and what this weekend's been as far as impact legacy giving, but what it really means in terms of how God's leading us and discipleship really at the heart of it. So let's give it up for Tim. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Good morning, Grace. How are you? You doing well? Did you sleep well last night? Oh, good. Good deal. My name is Tim, and I live in Des Moines, Iowa. And for 35 years, I served as a senior pastor in St. Louis, Fort Worth, Texas, Bentonville, Arkansas, which is famous for Tyson Chicken. And then I've been in Des Moines. I've been in Des Moines for a while. And during COVID, I left the local church to begin serving churches across America, thinking through how we can address the heart issues that surround one of the most important areas of our life. Now, how many of you get an annual physical? Okay, I do that, and it's really annoying because I go get the physical, and I walk in, and what's the first thing they do when you go get your physical? They weigh you. I don't know about your doctor, but my doctor's office scale has been broken for a very long time. And I say things like, should I take my shoes off? And the nurse looks at me and goes, please. There's no way that that's gonna really help me. And so they do this battery of tests. And they try to tell me what my BMI is. Body mass index, right? And when I get my body mass index numbers, they look at me and they're like, sir. And I'm like, my mother said I was big boned. I'm husky, come on, what's the deal? But we have different things to help us diagnose our physical health. Now, we can look at each other and judge externally whether or not we think people are healthy. You may look at me and say, well, he looks like he's not missed a meal. He looks like he's fairly healthy. But it's the diagnostic tests, the blood tests that tell me about cholesterol, the blood pressure cup, my weight. All of these things are really what gets to the issue of my physical health. Well, what about our discipleship health? What measures do we have to be able to self-assess if we're growing in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, there's a lot of ways that we can go about it, but the one that Jesus talked about the most was our relationship to money and our attitudes toward money. Now, it's important that you hear me say this. Material possessions are not in and of themselves evil, they're not vulgar, but God has given us material possessions for our enjoyment. Say that with me, for our enjoyment. That's why God has created this earth, and that's why God has blessed you and me. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud or to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He has blessed us so that we can enjoy what he has entrusted to us. And one of the ways that we enjoy what he has entrusted to us is to be able to do good with it, to share with those in need. Now, simultaneously, material possessions are one of the primary means of turning our hearts away from God. It's good. God has given it to us for our enjoyment, but there's also a seductive power behind material things. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. Prior to what he just told Timothy about enjoying his wealth, he says this: but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Well, that's no fun. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and have pierced themselves with many sorrows. You know anybody like that? They decided their number one objective and purpose in life was to chase the almighty dollar, and they were going to climb the ladder of success to chase the almighty dollar, only to find that in the end they put their ladder against the wrong building. Loving money is the challenge. And it becomes a problem when we love it, when we attach value to it. I have a wise friend who told me many, many years ago, don't love anything that can't love you back. Don't love anything that can't love you back. And the problem with money is that when we love it, it overpromises and underdelivers. So if wealth is so seductive, what does Jesus recommend? Jesus recommends that if we give away some of our surplus, that that's a good strategy to help overcome those temptations. God's not broke. Are you sure? God's not broke. He doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And that is, he wants to see you and me break the power of wealth in our lives. He said, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Okay? When we learn how to give, it's just like your 3-year-old learning to share. When we learn to share, when we learn to give, we're breaking the power of wealth. We're breaking the power of material possessions in our lives. This is why Solomon in Proverbs 4 said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You see, I believe the hand and the heart are organically linked. This is connected to this. This reveals what's going on here. So if my heart is closed, what am I going to do with this? I'm gonna grip it. I'm gonna clench it. I'm gonna hold it. I'm gonna protect it. But what happens when my heart is open? When my heart is open, what happens? I'm willing to share. I'm willing to let God do that in my life so that he can do it through my life to make a difference in the world. Money amplifies. Money magnifies. Whatever's in your heart, money is going to make bigger. If your heart is open and inclined to sharing, what's going to happen is money is going to make that openness and that sharing even bigger. But if my hand is inclined to grip and to hold and to clench, money is going to even make me want to do that more. You see, it's not about what we have. It's not about even what we give. It's what's going on in here. That's what God cares about. My prayer for you is that you'll see stewardship, generosity, and giving not as something we do, but that it becomes something we are because of what's really going on in our hearts. God's not broke, but he is wanting to do something incredible on your journey and my journey in discipleship. Thank you so much, Grace.
This afternoon, you gonna make it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
This new floor. I'm struggling. I'm just gonna kick it under there and not worry about it. If I can't get in my hotel room later, then I'll just spend the night with you, brother. So,
in my trailer. Tim's a great guy. We've appreciated him being here. The partnership that the elders and our leadership have put together with the organization that he's a part of, Motorstone, has really helped us. He did a couple workshops yesterday. He's got one more this afternoon, Tax Smart Giving, and it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for people to really grow and learn and understand what that looks like. Appreciate him so very much. Legacy, talking about legacy and talking about investment and discipleship. I had a phone call this week with a gentleman who I've known a very long time. And he's invited me to speak at their family camp this summer. And boy, did that get me thinking. And I'll tell you why. It's the family camp. It's the campground. It's the area where I grew in my relationship with Jesus. And it took me back to my roots. It took me back to my roots. And so I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey. But I really want to take it in terms of this concept, this understanding that you and I have some of the same things that we've been given. There's three areas of our lives that we have, maybe in different proportions, maybe exactly the same. We have three ways that we can respond in our relationship with Jesus. We can respond to him in an act of worship through how we spend our time, how we use our talents that he's given us, and how we give of our treasure away. Time, talent, and treasure is where we're going to talk about today in terms of leaving a legacy. And it really started for me back in this little town of Eureka, California. And I realized that there were three individuals that made a difference in my life that started something in me that came carried on to this day. And it really goes around legacy. This church in Eureka, it's still about the same size it was when I first walked in there to play basketball. Little indoor gym. Not near the size of this room. We played the walls as being out of bounds. Sometimes we got thrown into the walls. There was a fireplace at one end that we had a frame around to cushion us for, so nobody got thrown into the rocks. And then we used it to catapult ourselves up to feel like we were Dr. J, you know, and slamming it, Wilt Chamberlain. And I got to play basketball there. I got invited by a couple brothers. Now, take you back. I was 13 at the time. I started, before I got there, I started visiting one of my buddies over at the little market around the corner. He worked there. He was in high school. I was just getting ready to go into high school. And I had nothing better to do. And, you know, I hung out at a grocery store. Now, you can't do that today. No. Hanging out at grocery stores get a little bit peculiar. But this was a small little mom and pop store. And I used to hang out. I didn't hang out for a free soda. I didn't hang out for something to eat. I didn't need that. What I needed, I didn't realize I needed it until I started experiencing it, and then I got hooked. I needed friendship. I needed relationship. I needed value. Now, it wasn't that I didn't have any. I didn't have a poor self-image, but I grew up being teased because my hair was so red and puffy. I know, I don't have any now. You don't have to. I was teased because I was big boned and husky, and I still am today. I was teased for a lot of things, and I can remember the nicknames kids called me at school. How about you? I remember them. I remember who said them. I remember what it looked like. I remembered all that. And in all of that part of my life, I realized that when I went over to go buy a candy bar or a Dr. Pepper, that there was a guy there that he started paying attention to me. Like, just in a, hey, how you doing? Oh, you getting your Dr. Pepper, aren't you? You know, that kind of thing. I'm like, yeah. And we started a conversation. And I would hang out there for, I don't know, hour or two sometimes at night. And we started a friendship. In fact, he introduced me to his younger brother, who's very different than him. How many of you have a sibling that's totally opposite of you? I have one of those too. Left, as far as left is from right. Right? But he introduced me to his friend, his brother. He became my friend. He was my age. And I saw him at school. We hung out a little bit. And then he started inviting me to come play basketball at his church. I wanted to play basketball. I couldn't jump or run, but I love shooting. And so if I could play basketball, I was there. I was there. And his older brother would show up too because he was getting ready for basketball season at the high school because he was a starter, right? And so then I had this, you know, he's a starter. I'm hanging out with somebody who plays on the high school team. Needless to say, a friendship started. Why? Because the local church made a commitment to the next generation. The local church made a commitment by hiring the right staff and having the right people that had a calling on their lives to reach the next generation. I used to be that generation. Now I'm part of the generation that you and many of us are. We're reaching the next generation, right? Because 100 years from now, there's only one thing that matters, right? It's a person's relationship with God. And so I started playing basketball. And sure enough, I lost a lot, but didn't run very fast, like I said. But I got to meet the youth pastor, and the youth pastor started a relationship with me. And these three guys made a difference in my life. They all had a role to play that God responded to and had equipped them for and responded to. My good friend, who's my age, I talked to him this week on the phone. I haven't seen him in decades. And he tells me, hey, Red, you know, it's been a long time since we've talked. That's my nickname, all right? My wife calls me Red, all right? And he goes, my life is a lot different. I said, I know. He goes, I've done a lot. I know. He goes, I just wonder if really there's any significance left in my life. I said, Rich, buddy, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be having this phone call today. If it wasn't for your brother, who was the best man in my wedding, but if it wasn't for you and your brother and Pastor John and what was established in me when I was younger, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. You changed my life. Because you had something that I didn't. You had someone that I didn't know. I had no clue who Jesus was at the time. And you knew you couldn't share it maybe clearly to me, but you put me in front of people that could because you loved me and cared about me. I said, Rich, you changed my life. He left a legacy. Pastor John left a legacy in my life. That church is such a sending church. I told you, it's still about 200 people. 45 years later, it's still about a church of 200. And they're still sending, they're still discipling. The senior pastor was the best man in my wedding, Rich's brother, Steve. He's the senior pastor at that church. And I said, Steve, what are you doing, man? He goes, well, I'm talking to you about getting ready for camp. And I said, that's great. I said, how's things going? He goes, man, I just need 10 more guys. I go, what do you mean you need 10 more guys? I just need 10 more guys to disciple. I just need 10 more guys. I'm just praying, God, give me 10 more guys. I'm ready. I'm going. I'll come back. We'll do it together. Like, he's just like on fire, right? All about discipleship, all about giving away, all about sharing Jesus. Oh, all in that church. I discovered Jesus. I found him on February 29th, 1980. And then somebody showed me how to read God's word and how to study it. Pastor John said, you're showing up early every week. We're going to do a Bible study together. What's that? Don't worry, just show up. I'll have donuts. I said, that's good. And me and about six or seven other guys started showing up, and God started working in our lives because the local church understood what it meant. Amen. Understood. Like, there's people in this room, like, you don't realize it, but you've made a mark on somebody else's life in such a good way. There's more to come. God's not done with Grace Community Church after 72 years. God's just warming up with us. And you're the group to do it. You're the group to bring hope and share hope and have people discover, for the first time, what it means to know Jesus, to be loved by the creator of the universe, because that's all that's going to matter 100 years from now. One of the verses that I first remember reading and hearing about were these. He's going to start putting them up here. This one here. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. I didn't have a clue about Jesus. He's the baby at Christmas. That's all I knew. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new has come. I mean, I remember memorizing that. Like, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Pastor John, remember, you're a new creation, man. God equipped you. You are special. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Like, those are things I was hearing. Like, I'm an ambassador? I'm something special? Yeah. Yeah. And then there's this one. What's next? I'm just going to follow along with Dave upstairs. This is our purpose statement here at Grace. When I was at the Nazarene Church in Eureka, we didn't have a purpose statement. All our leadership knew there was we need to share Jesus. Like we just got to share the gospel. We got a disciple. It's just that simple because Jesus said that's what we're to do. Here, we articulate it. It's like, this is who we are. We exist to help people experience the grace of Jesus in their daily lives by learning to abide and respond at all times and in all places where you live, work, learn, or play, so that they can glorify God and enjoy him forever. Because 100 years from now, the only thing that will matter is a person's relationship with God. That's all that will matter. And I just remember growing up, realizing, just like this church has been for so many, realizing that there's more than this life than just working hard, providing for my family. Those are all important. But it all came through a foundational relationship that started when I was 15, and I'm here today because of it, because the local church invested and gave for the, and prepared another generation to be Christ followers. So time, talent, and treasure. Let's talk about those things because it's really all about discipleship. It's all about discipleship. Taking the time to grow deeper in your relationship with God. Look at this verse. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. I was chosen. You were chosen in advance. I remember Pastor John telling me, like, you are something special. I said, Pastor John, there's nothing special about me. Oh, Mark. If you only knew what God could do through you, if what you'll experience in your life if you trust God and follow him will be amazing. The fact I'm standing here today is amazing to me. It's just, God has a plan for your life, for mine, with people you haven't even met yet. It's never too late to make a difference. It's never too late to grow a little bit deeper. Look at this verse. So then just as you receive Christ Jesus, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Pastor Jesse has thrown out the gauntlet for us. Our elders have thrown it out. We're going to spend 28 days focused on hope. And we're not expecting, we're inviting. And frankly, if we don't respond the way it's been put out, then shame on us. We're going to invest 28 minutes a day for 28 days in the Word. It's in that booklet that you're going to get next week. And if we commit to that kind of consistency every day, amazing things will happen, and some of them nobody else will see because it'll happen in you. But it'll leak out in the world around you. So as we focus on hope and we dig into the Word and we look at what God's Word says about hope and how it's changed lives, our lives will be changed. Rooted deep, growing in your relationship over time. Time is something we all have the same amount of. What are you doing with your time? I know, like I'm already convicted, man. When Jesse first said to me, you know, 28 minutes, there's a lot of things you can give up for 28 minutes that aren't gonna change your world at all. Not gonna change your life at all. Yeah, you're right. 28 minutes of screen time to 28 minutes of more time in the Word. What's better, yeah. Right? 14 minutes of prayer and 14 minutes of Word. However you wanna frame it up, but making more time to be in the Word. We all have that opportunity. Where are we going to spend our time? Over time, becoming more like Jesus changes the world. You and I, we may not notice it right away, but if we continue to strive to become more like Christ and grow in his relationship, our relationship with him, it'll change the world around us, where you live, work, learn, and play. Next verse. Then we will no longer be like immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. The world doesn't understand that we can speak the truth in love. But it goes farther. It's not just about speaking it. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of the church, the body, his church. We're the body of Christ. To love is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. To speak the truth in love can be offensive to some people sometimes, but to love when they don't feel deserved to be loved, that gets somebody's attention. It got mine. Man, I was experiencing the love of Jesus, I didn't even know it, from Pastor John and from Steve and from Rich. I'm like, this is good. Okay, I got a life with purpose. Okay, I wanna know what it is. Yep. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's got a plan for my life. Okay, yep. And just boom, 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 boom. Just the momentum that comes as we grow in our relationship with Jesus over time. Look at this verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This verse, a different version I memorized in high school. Pastor John says, you are a workmanship. You are special made. God's got a plan for your life and he's planned it ahead of time. And I'm gonna tell you today, some of you in this room, you think there's nothing ahead for you. You think there is nothing in your future. I'm gonna tell you, God already knows your future and your workmanship. You've got people around you that need to know and experience the love of Jesus and you're the only one that's gonna get to them. How's that for a little bit of responsibility? Don't miss it. Every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. And God's put you together in such a way to influence someone else. Some of you are here today because somebody invited you to church. I talked to somebody last service, like their world is upside down and feeling hopeless. And I prayed with her at the end of service. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how young or old you are, we can all feel hopeless. We can all feel like there's something more we need. There's something help that we need. Like, does our life really matter? And we've all been given gifts and talents. Abilities. 1 Corinthians 12 is chock full. Look at this little bit of the verse of the passage. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. We are each gifted uniquely, uniquely to reach certain people. It's all about 100 years from now, what's going to matter? Like, I just keep going back to that. Nothing else matters. Like, we can go deep in the Word, and that's important. And we can do all the things that we are called to do, and that's important. But if there's no life change, it starts with you and me. Like, we have this thing called the grace path. It's a simple four-step process. It's just a taste of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, from discovering who you are in Christ to just getting the spiritual habits put in front of you, what it means to grow in your relationship, to discovering what part of the body you are. Are you the little toe? Are you the thumb? What are you? What do you mean? God's given me purpose? Yes. He's equipped you uniquely to serve in the body of Christ, us, and then to share our faith, to live it out. Like, if we're not walking that path of some nature, if it's not that one, it should be something similar. The tool, just to start discovering and going deeper and get more rooted in your relationship with Christ. Why? Because we all have something to give. We all have talents and we all have treasures. We all have treasures, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And you're like, are we gonna open up the Bible today? Are we really gonna ever read scripture? Yes, we are. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for me. We're gonna read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9. We all have the same amount of time. We've all been gifted with unique talents and abilities. I see it every single day, every day. I see some of you in this room and I know exactly what you're gifted for. Why? Just because you're using it. For some of us in the room, that we just think, what could God do with us, with me? He's got a plan for you. And he's given you treasure. For some, it's financial treasure. For others, it's abilities that you just can't give away fast enough. I know people financially, like, they just can't give it away fast enough. God keeps blessing them with more. And then for others, it's the same concept. It's just in how they serve others. Like, they just can't serve enough. They can't go fix enough fences. They can't go come alongside people and help them and love them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I know it's up there, but we're going to read a little bit more maybe than what's there. Remember this, starting with verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I get that that's used a lot around the tithe. I get it. I just want you to just expand the understanding that it's about what we've been blessed with. Our blessing becomes somebody else's. We share it. We share it. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower, he supplies it for us, and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. I stand in a church building with a church family that continues to be generous, not just in finances, and that's a big deal. We're so blessed to be out of debt. We're so blessed that have generations prior to me that have been here to invest in this region through Grace Community Church or Bible Baptist Church. I just want to be part of the generation that impacts the next generation. How about you? How about you? Let me get something. Hang on, I'll be right back. You keep playing because I like it. There are some people in this room that they, and it doesn't mean, not because you're older. It's not because you're older. There's younger people in this room that think, what's next for me? There's some people in this room that, like, on February 29th of 1980, when I accepted Jesus, I realized that God had made me. This is me. And he had a plan for my life, and I could start giving myself away to things. I could start sharing, living, and understanding and growing. Right? These Kleenex boxes are amazing. I'll tell you why. As you continue to give tissue away, these boxes are made. Yep. You're like this Kleenex box where you're like, well, I kind of am getting to the end of my life. Or my life doesn't have purpose. See how the color changed? You see that? These boxes are made so when you start getting to the end, you know it's almost out. I didn't know that. I thought somebody was stuffing a different color in there just to save money. You're this and not this. You think this way, but you're still this way, really. There's so much for you to give. God's not, don't worry about it. There's a lot of this color still in the box too. It's not empty. You're not empty. You're not worthless. You got something to give. God's got a plan. He gave you time. He gave you talents that I don't have and others don't have. He gave you treasure that you need to share. What's the greatest treasure we have? We all have it. He has a name. Why are we so reluctant to share him sometimes? I was in a hospital last week with a gentleman I've known for a long time. The nurses told his wife he probably had a week. He was on a ventilator, 100% oxygen, not even breathing on his own. I said, Audrey, when he comes around and God heals him and they pull that ventilator out of his throat, the first things he's going to do and say are, praise the Lord. You know what he did? That's what he did. And I know he went through that whole ordeal because God wasn't done with him yet. And every nurse and every doctor have been scratching their head ever since, wondering, why is this man still alive? He's home now, right? God has a plan in every situation. All right, I'm going to get real authentic here. About a month ago, I bought this toothpaste. Don't judge me. It's Crest, okay? I've always used Crest my entire life. Except when we were saving money and my wife convinced me to buy the bundles at Costco and I didn't like it, but we did it anyway because it was cheaper. Right? I bought this a month or so ago, at least a month ago. This is my current tube. This is the way I squeeze out my toothpaste. About a month ago, I thought I was about out. I haven't opened that box yet. There's still more to give out of this tube. There's still more for you to give. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving of yourself to something greater. Because 100 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is a person's relationship with God. And I stand in a church that's affected generations for the kingdom. And we're not done yet. And I'm so excited for what we're going through next month. This journey of hope. You're like, oh, it sounds kind of, whatever. Well, get over it. It's not. It's God's word. People need hope. There are people in this room. You need to know there is hope for you. Your life is not hopeless. It's not over. There's more still in the tube. I think I got another week or so in this thing. And that's not just because I'm only going to brush my teeth once. I think there's another week in it. There's a lot of space up there. Friends, there's room in your life. There's more for you to give away. Don't miss it. It comes in the form of relationships. My world completely changed because of relationships. And so did yours if you think back and celebrate it. What is God preparing us for here at Grace? Well, he's preparing for us to continue to help people discover and experience a relationship with Jesus. And we get in the way of that. How about we just go this way? God, what do you want from me? What can I do for you, God? You've done everything for me. What can I do for you? Oh, that person I work with. Oh. Can you pick somebody else? Oh, that's right. He's the person that works beside me and I talk with him more than anybody and he's kind of awkward and okay. I don't know what it is. It's the kid at school. Like it's the person at school that you just avoid. I'm not saying you go out of your way for him, but just don't miss an opportunity to be Jesus and share Jesus in your world, to bring a little bit of hope. Does that sound good? Can we do this together starting next week? Can we go 4 weeks and discover what it means to grow in our relationship with Jesus and grow in the hope that's in him and then ask God to use us to share it? Can we do that together? I think we can. And make no mistake, it's not about your current circumstances. God's going to use you in them because he planned them in advance. You're his workmanship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you. God, we come into this place not because it's about us. We come in because it's about you. And God, I gotta be honest. There's times when I come in and stuff's in the way. Forgive us when that happens. Forgive us when we are distracted. Father, we realize for many of us, we're now the generation to reach the next generation. We've already been reached. So we need to do our part. We need to bring hope in the world we live in. There are young people in this room that there are people in their lives. I was a recipient of it in high school. There's students that only they can reach. And it'll change the world. The kingdom of God needs to grow as we're faithful. So God, help us to be faithful to what you've given us. You've given us time. You've given us unique talents and treasures. And we want to commit them to you today and this month ahead. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that we can focus on the next generation. We can work on the opportunity to be a legacy that lasts long beyond our life here. Because God, 100 years from now, I'll be in your presence. And that's all that matters. And what I do on this side of heaven, God, I want to be faithful. Help us to be faithful together. Help us not to miss the opportunities. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to us and the hope that you bring. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.